Good morning, church family. It's great to see you here today. It's spring break, so we were kind of anticipating we might have a little bit of a smaller crowd. We know there's lots of people already traveling on the road, maybe even already to their destinations, but thank you for being here with us this morning as we worship together. I do have one reminder. I want to make sure everybody knows. I always kind of hate this one in a way. Next week, set those clocks forward 1 hour on Saturday night going forward so you don't forget. It's always interesting to see who's going to show up at what time on those Sundays when we have the time changes, but make sure you remember that next week we'll spring forward and lose that hour, but it also means we'll get a nice long day that we get to enjoy the sunlight while we're out there. So as we get ready to worship together today, I hope you have your hearts and minds ready in a place that God can use you in this place and God can use you beyond this place. As we get into the month of March, we're going to be focusing a lot on prayer. And one of the things that we're going to be doing, I think each week, according to David, is we're going to do a congregational reading of the Lord's Prayer to help get us started each week with things. So we'll start with this, and then I'll have a prayer following this as well. So if you would, read this with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we're so happy that we get this chance to be together today. Father, we know that you have brought us here. This was part of your plan. And Father, we want to be part of your plan. Lord, as we have this opportunity to begin this time of worship together in prayer. Father, we know that you hear us. We know that you are here with us. Father, we are so grateful for the love, the mercy, the grace that you show to us in our lives. Lord, we ask that you be with our families, those that may be traveling over this coming week during this time of spring break. Father, we know that even though we may not be together here in one place, Father, that we are still one on this first day of the week as we get to be joined together. Father, be with those that will be traveling coming forward this week. And Lord, we ask that you watch over them, give them safe travel, and Father, bring them home to us. God, we are so excited that we get this chance now to sing praises to you, to pray to you, to remember the sacrifice of your Son. Father, you have brought us here today because we are yours. Hear us now as we worship you. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning. It's great to be here. It's a wonderful day, and it's not just because I'm a teacher and this is the first day of spring break. It's great to see everyone this morning. Sing right out. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, also highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know How much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. No, I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. So hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. You are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in You may be seated. This next song is to prepare our minds for communion this morning.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did there such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my
all. Good morning. These communion cups are these little gadgets that we have. Some people really like them and some people don't. And I kind of, we've talked about it at Oakwood whenever we have church, and how the fact that it takes effort to actually connect with this, because you've got to wrestle with this thing on top and make sure that it opens. And we also have to wrestle with our minds, because there's so many distractions that come about, and am I going to be able to open, and am I going to do it in time? And that's the devil, the game that the devil plays with us sometimes, is that we get distracted by the simplest thing at a time that we need to be focused the most. So I'm going to give you a second to get that taken care of before we pray. And while you're doing that, you can be thinking about the relationship you have with others. If you're in the right mindset, right spirit, if you have something that needs to be left at the altar to make it right, make it right as you commune with your brothers and sisters here today. And if you have things that need to be made right with God, that's a time you can do that too. So this time that we have to take to do this has a place and has a purpose. And now we focus upon the bread, which represents or is the body of Jesus Christ, who willingly came from the heavenly realms to be God with us, Emmanuel, and walk on this earth to know what we go through, so that he can sympathize with us and he cares. And he made the ultimate sacrifice, giving his life for us, and in turn, we have the opportunity to give our lives for him each day. Let's pray. Holy God, we are so thankful for who you are in our lives. And we're sorry that you aren't more. Help us to crave for a deeper relationship with you, a deeper relationship with each other. That's what communion is. And we're thankful that this time is set apart each and every week to remind us, to pull us back where we need to be, and to challenge us to do better. We are ever so thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We know that his will fought your will for a little bit, but he aligned with your will. And we ask that we will learn to do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now we take the cup, which represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. The blood gives life. And amazingly, the blood flows from me to Michelle, to Kim, to Denise, to Doug, to Peggy, and to Doug again, and to David and Vicky. It flows between us, and it gives us life, and it pulls us back, and it reminds us whose we are and who we are. And it also makes us acceptable in God's sight, because whenever he sees us, he sees the blood of Jesus covering us like a cloak. And that's awesome. Let's pray. Holy God, we thank you for this day and for the blessings you give us. We are thankful for the blood of Jesus. And we're thankful for the act of sacrifice on a cross for us. And the beauty that lies in the fact that we are acceptable in your sight because of his sacrifice. And we're thankful that he rose from the grave. We're thankful that he promised he would come back, and we live that promise every day. And we're just ever so thankful for this blood that binds us to each other and to our beloved Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. One last thing is that there's something left. There's something left that you carry with you out these doors. And likewise, this time, this should be something that we take with us. And we're not going to leave it in the trash. We're actually going to share it with others in our daily lives. God bless.
If it's convenient, would you be standing for this song before David's lesson? All these songs were about restoration, and this one right here is definitely right on there. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me.
me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
You may be seated.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody here this morning. Lee, I appreciate your words this morning. Thank you for hanging in there with us before you head over to Oakwood and leading our devotional thoughts for the communion this morning. I appreciate the ministry that Lee does and others that work with our facilities for seniors offering communion. And we've been able to start back at Oakwood, and Lee's doing that. That one's really special to me since my mom is there. So appreciate your work in that, Lee. And I know others. David is going to start back soon, I'm sure, at Goodtree, and others will be involved in that. So thank you. Oh, it's good to see you this morning. It's good to see Doug. We love you, Doug. And I know this is a special time for you as well. Let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me? Father, it's been a rough year. There are things to rejoice in this year. There are things that have been accomplished in this year. There are things where you have shown yourself at work in ways that, in the mysterious, in the powerful, you have shown yourself. And your people have shown you glory. They have served others, and they have extended themselves beyond what was comfortable to help others. And there are people who have come to realize their need for God in a greater way than in other seasons of life because of this past year. So there is much to be grateful for. But there is a sadness that comes over us when we think about loss. Loss of opportunities to meet with people that we love. Loss of jobs and wages. We've sensed loss over our unity, and there has been a spirit in our country of distance and sometimes bitterness and hatred over our division. And we sense that loss. And there's a sense of loss for those who have left us, and we mourn their loss. We mourn the loss of being able to spend that special time with them as they leave this life. We mourn the loss of our being able to to worship sometimes the way we would like to, the way we're familiar with. And for some of us, it's been a loss of our tradition. There's many losses, but one thing we have gained is a greater appreciation for what we have. And Father, this morning we are gathered in appreciation for the fact that you're with us, and we rejoice in that. And we praise you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here. And we're grateful for the Holy Spirit that helps us to overcome any obstacles that would stand in our way of serving our great God and Savior. So this morning we rejoice together, and we look forward to doing even greater things until the Lord Jesus comes back. Lord, come quickly. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You may have received this week, I hope you did, an email about doing a little survey about what time we're going to go back. I hope you received that. You know, hopefully by now, that on Easter morning we're going to have one service. Actually, that's not completely correct. We're going to have one service here at the building. We're going to have another service at the City Park, the community Easter service, sunrise service. And I'm excited about that, being able to do that again. But then we're going to have one service here at the building. We're all going to be together, and that's exciting. The elders have not set the time for when we're going to meet on Easter morning yet, and what will be the time thereafter. And there's some reasons for that, because we don't want to just do it to be doing it. We want to do what's best. Now, so far on our survey, it's kind of what we expected. Basically, it is completely split. There are four options on that survey, and we have as many who have expressed their preference for all four on that survey. So, you know, and it's exactly, I mean, just almost number by number, completely equal for all four options that are there, you know. And one of those options is, I don't have a preference. Whatever the elders say, I'll be there. So there you go. So here's what I would like for you to do. I want you to continue to do the survey if you haven't done it yet. But we'd also like to hear from you about why you feel that's important. And I would ask for you to do it in this way, not just what's best for your family, although we're concerned for that. But I want you to consider what's best for people outside of our body, or people who are struggling to come back. What do you think is best? What will increase our Bible school attendance? What will be best for our college students? What's best for our senior saints? What's best for our visitors? I want you to think about that. And if you have a view on that, let us know. Let us hear what you're thinking, especially the elders. And you might want to do a little research on that. There's actually some really good articles on the internet if you want to pursue this, about what is the best time for people of different age categories and situations in life for attending church services. So you might want to look at that. Just take a little peek at that and see what you think. Because what's best for college students is not necessarily what's best for our senior saints. And it's not necessarily best for parents with young children. So think about it. And your preference might not be the most important thing. What might be most important is what's best for others. So just let us know. And I think it's important for us to be thinking in that way. All right, we're starting another topic, if you will, of restarting. And what I want you to think about all this month is that restarting takes heart and prayer. And again, remember that we're doing this series looking at Ezra and Nehemiah when they went back to restart in Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple, rebuilding the walls of the city, getting Jerusalem up and running again. That restarting, there are principles in what Ezra and Nehemiah did that apply to us at Graham Street Church of Christ about restarting. And one thing that really stands out is this idea of having a heart to do this and prayerfulness. And we'll study that together this morning. And so the whole month of March, I want us, as we get ready to come back Easter morning, April the 4th, I want us to be focusing in on this idea of our heartfelt desire to do something great for God here and our prayerfulness in going forward with that. So if you have your Bibles, look with me in the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to spend our time there this morning. We're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 1. And we're going to look at some principles about restarting based on the book of Nehemiah and Ezra. So in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and remember that Nehemiah is a servant of the king. He's the cupbearer for the king. And in verse 3 and 4, he asked them the question about what state is Jerusalem in? How's the Jewish remnant and the people who survived the exile? How's things going in Jerusalem? And they said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province and in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. And when I heard these things, I sat down and wept. And for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I want you to think about this idea that restarting begins with your heart being touched and being prayerful about it. And I know a lot of us are saying, man, I'll be glad when things are back to normal. But for many of us, it's deeper than that. It's not just returning to normal. It's about dealing with things that have touched our heart in ways that we haven't before. And I know some of those things mean different things to others, you know. I mean, one of the things that Vicki and I feel is that, you know, it's been a long time since we've seen our children and grandchildren in California. And we've missed the opportunities that we usually have in being able to visit with them. That's more than just, I want things to return to normal. I really want to see them. It's something that touches my heart. But I think the same thing is true with the church. We don't want to just return to normal. We want to do great things. We want to get back to better, better than normal. As I've said in this series, I want us to examine what we've done, and I want us to think about how can we make it better. Let's not just go back to normal. Let's go back to greater than normal. And we need to be touched in our hearts about that, and we need to be prayerful about that. Nehemiah saw a great need. It touched his heart, and he wept. And then he began fasting and praying about it. Some of you are familiar with Lent. Some of you may already be in the process of doing things that will help you be more mindful of Jesus' death, his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead. I want us to think about in terms of, in addition to those things, as we're in this season, let's think about our restarting. What is it going to be about? What is it going to do to us as a church? What will it do in our community as we stand forth as a church that's committed? I want to suggest to you that you try 3 weeks of fasting and prayer. Daniel did this in Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10. It talks about Daniel spending 3 weeks, 21 days, in fasting and prayer. And it's not that Daniel did completely without food. He changed his diet in a special way so that he would be better in tune with God and in prayer during that 21 days. I would encourage you starting next Saturday to do something that will make you mindful of this period of time of prayer. It might be with your food, it may be with social media, it may be with television, it may be a hobby, it may be something else. But I'd like to suggest to you that you begin next week, and for 3 weeks leading up to Easter, do something. Abstain from something that will make you think about what we're trying to do. That every time, if it's food, every time you want to go grab a snack, every time you're a little hungry, you know, for whatever it is that you're going to do without, let that be a motivation to pray. Just drop right there and pray. Pray about it. Pray about what we're going to do for God as God allows us to start back into having this one service together. Be mindful of what the season is that we're in. Be mindful about what God is doing in the world right now. And be mindful of your relationship with God and what you can do to improve that. Spend time in prayer and let whatever means of fasting you do during that 3 weeks, those 21 days, be something that will help you draw closer to God and be in deeper in prayer. Pray for the safety of what we're trying to do. In some ways, it's not the right timing. COVID is still very real and very deadly, and people are still having to deal with it in a real way. And yes, we have vaccines, but there's a lot of people who have not been vaccinated. We have a lot of opportunity to spread during this spring break. And we have spring break this week. A lot of the schools in Texas have spring break the next week. I'm going to continue to wear my mask as I circulate among you, like in the lobby when we're in close contact with one another. That's out of respect for you. That's not trying to be a protest. That's not trying to act like I'm different from everybody else. But out of respect for you, I want to be careful about that. And I'll continue to do that. And while we're in this season of it's still contagious, I encourage us to respect one another with that. But when we meet back together in one service, we're going to be crowded again. We're going to have a greater opportunity to spread this. We will designate an area in our auditorium for people who are most vulnerable to be able to meet there and still social distance and be able to leave early and not have to congregate in the lobby. I would ask you to respect that need. Wear a mask when you're in the lobby and consider people that are still vulnerable to this. And it may not be anything that concerns you. It's not about that. But there are people who are still concerned and people who are still anxious. So even though we're coming back to one service on Easter morning, April 4th, I ask you to still consider your brothers and sisters. Be considerate and be prayerful. And in this 21 days, let's be praying for God's surrounding us in His grace to keep us safe. That we'll be able to have a strength against this virus that will keep people safe. Let's do that, okay? Let's be prayerful about what this church is going to be after COVID is behind us. We're not going to stop serving our community like we've been serving just because this virus stops. We're going to continue to serve our community. So for 21 days, I'm asking you to really be focused in on praying about this. Invite other people and be praying for your neighbors. Invite people who haven't been coming to church. Invite them to be a part of this time of coming back together. Be praying for me. I'll say the right words that need to be said Easter morning. Be praying for our song leader. We're going to have a guest song leader that morning. Be praying for him. I want to ask for you to focus in for 21 days. I think that's a principle that we can apply. I want you to notice Nehemiah's prayer beginning in verse 4. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear. The prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night before your servants. The people of Israel, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you, and we have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws that you gave your servant. Remember the instruction you gave to your servant Moses, saying, if you are faithful If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exited people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from where they are and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand, O Lord. Let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayers of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And I was the cupbearer of the king. Notice about this prayer. He believed in the faithfulness of God to God's covenant of love. He mentions it specifically in his prayer. He says, God, you are a God of covenant. You are a God who allowed us to be in a covenant relationship with you. And we believe, I believe, that you keep your covenant of love. You will not abandon your covenant. And I call upon that covenant relationship in my prayer right now. Brothers and sisters, I think one of the things that we need to emphasize in our prayer as we restart is that we're in a covenant relationship with God. We're doing what we're doing because of our covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. What we do in the Lord's Supper is a reminder of that covenant relationship. Remember, Jesus, when he instituted it, said, "This is the blood of my covenant for the forgiveness of sins." In every prayer we pray, there needs to be in some way, directly or indirectly, a mention of the fact that we are in a covenant relationship with God. Because if there were not a covenant relationship with God, we have no right to pray. We have no right to pray expecting that God will honor us as if we were in a covenant. It is because of his grace in that covenant that we can pray like we do. Number two, notice he confesses sin. And it's interesting to me that Nehemiah confesses not only his own sin, but he confesses the sin of his people. Have you ever prayed confessing the sin of this church? It's a very humbling thing to do. You get a sense of what Jesus did in taking our sins upon himself. For us to pray to God, Father, in our history, we've been a sinful church. We have done things that did not represent you well. We've had those among us who have been shameful in our community. We have not dealt with people the way we should. We have been judgmental and condemning. We've not shown your love and your grace to others like we should. Have you ever prayed like that? When you look at the great prayers of the Old Testament, there is a prayerfulness about the sins of our people. When Daniel prayed, he confessed the sins of the Jewish people. You look at David's prayer in the Psalms, and David not only speaks about his own sin, but he speaks of the sin of his people, and he takes responsibility for the sins of the people. When Ezra leads the people back to the restoration of the priesthood to serve in the temple, he prays about the sins of the people that polluted the priesthood to begin with. I encourage you to think about how we need to be praying as a church as we start back, that we will be different in the future. Oh, we've got much to be proud of. We've got wonderful, lovely, godly people among us. We have great servants who have been doing great work. We've accomplished great things in this church. But brothers and sisters, we have also been sinful. And our sins have kept us from being the church that we need to be. And although we've served our community, we could have served so much better if we had not had sins in the past. And although we've been loving and gracious, we've also been judgmental and condemning. And instead of building a unity and a peace among those of like mind with us, we've often built walls and separated ourselves from people who want to do the same things that we want to do. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you, as you are involved in this 21 days of prayer, confess your sins and confess the sins of our church. And ask God to bless us, not only with forgiveness, but bless us with the ability to do better in the future. Let's don't go back to normal. Let's go back to better. We can do better than what we've done. We don't have to keep making the same mistakes. And let's think about it. Because if you think that everything is okay, you're going to fail to do the best that you can do. Notice also that in his prayer, he remembered God's words and his promises. He says, God, you promised that if we're unfaithful, we would be scattered. We would be taken prisoner by other nations. You promised that. But you also promised that if we repented and we returned to you, that you would restore us. Do you pray God's promises when you pray? That's not customary in our prayers. You know, our prayers, we ask, but do we pray about the promises that God has given us to answer? You know, I get the impression that Paul's prayer was that he thanked God before he finished the prayer for answering it. Because he believed that God would keep his promise. That whatever God said he will do, he will do. And we need to continue to, as we pray, pray with a remembrance that God keeps his promise. Whatever God has promised to us, let's remember that as we pray and thank God as we're praying. And then number four, remember your relationship with God. It's interesting that Nehemiah, while he prays about their sin and he prays about how they've been separated from God and how God told them that this would happen if they were unfaithful, he also prays about how great it is to be remembered by God and in that special relationship. You know, when we stand before God, not because of our work, not because of our perfection, we stand without sin. Because of what Jesus did for us. It says in Galatians that when we're baptized, that God wraps us in Jesus. We're baptized into Jesus and we come into Jesus and Jesus surrounds us. The language is talking about the ceremony of becoming a son. When you reach the age that toga is placed around you and the crescent is given to you as a son inheriting what the Father is giving. And that's the language of baptism, that when we're baptized, we're wrapped in Jesus. And when God sees us, he sees his son. When we pray, let's remember. Do you realize when you say in Jesus' name, it's not just a, you know, kind of like you sign the end of a letter, you know, yours truly, sincerely yours. We kind of get flippant with our prayers. We just kind of throw that in Jesus' name out at the end because that's the way we end our prayers. Do you realize what you're saying when you say that is that you realize that you're praying this because of your relationship with Jesus? That because of what Jesus has done for you, you have the right, as he's your high priest, to come before God and boldly ask what you need, according to Hebrews chapter 4. It's because of that relationship with Jesus. Talk about it when you pray. And when you think about that relationship, notice three things that Nehemiah mentions. We're redeemed, we're servants, and we're worshipers. We are the redeemed, saved by God's mighty power. We are the servants of God doing God's will. And we are the worshipers reverencing the name of God. That's who we are. We have that relationship. And if there's anything I think we need to remind ourselves as we come into this stage of our restart, we need to be reminding ourselves that we are God's redeemed. We are God's servants, and we are the worshipers of God. And we're excited to be able to do all three in a special way because of that relationship. But I want you to notice in chapter 2 that Nehemiah continues his prayer. He prays and he continues to pray because he's asked God to give him an opportunity to speak to the king about what he wants to do. And the king sees his sadness. It's interesting. He doesn't just go to the king and ask for being able to take leave to go back. The king sees his sadness. God puts on the king's heart to notice what's going on with Nehemiah. And he says, why are you acting this way? You're different than what you usually are. And Nehemiah has the opening to be able to say to him, this is the conditions I've heard about. And to be able to say to the king that he would like to go back. And the king not only gives him permission to go back, but he helps him go back. He pays the way. He gives him a guard. He gives him supplies. God answers his prayer. But I want you to notice that before Nehemiah takes action, he stops and he prays again. With every step, he prays. Brothers and sisters, whatever we do in our restarting, whatever we decide to do that will be the best way to serve God in this church, we need to be praying every step of the way. Before we make the next move, we need to be praying. I've heard some excitement about getting started on redoing the inside of the building, making it look better. I've heard some discussion about, okay, are we going to have pews or are we going to have chairs? You know, there's people with all kinds of opinions. I bet if we take a poll on it, we're probably going to find it's kind of split down the middle. You know, I don't know. But whatever we do, we need to be praying about it. There's probably some discussion about, well, should we change the color of the walls? That's not really that important a thing, but I'll tell you what is important is that we pray about it. Everything we do, every toilet we replace, every bathroom that gets colored, every tile that gets replaced in this ceiling, it needs to be covered in prayer. We need to be praying about it. Nehemiah stopped and prayed again before the next step. What about you? How important is prayer in your relationship with God? If for every time you've said, I'll be glad when we get back to normal, you prayed, how many prayers would you have prayed about it? How many times have you said that and not prayed? How much of what you want to see things be like after COVID has been bathed in prayer? Brothers and sisters, I'm serious about this because I'm preaching to myself here. We need to not be talking about this without praying about this. We don't need to be arguing about what we're going to do. We need to be praying about what we're going to do. We need to be united together, not because we agree on everything that we're going to do, but we need to be united together because we've all been praying about it. There's nothing greater that will unite us together in what we're going to do in the future than being together in praying. You can't pray too long, and if you pray long enough, You're going to pray to where you come to the point of agreement, where you get to the point where you say, I'm not really that concerned about how we do it. What I'm concerned about is that we do it to the glory of God. That we do it to God's glory. This morning, if you need a heart change, that you realize that in this 21 days of prayer that will start next week, that you're not really ready because your heart's not right. This morning, if we could pray for you, when one of our shepherds comes forward here in a moment and leads us in our closing shepherd's prayer, maybe he needs to include you. Include you by name. Pray for you. That God will bless you with the right heart as we go forward. I know he'll be praying for our whole church, but maybe he needs to pray for you. Maybe this morning it's hard for you to get your heart in the right place because really you're just not really in the right place because you haven't given your life to Jesus. Yesterday it was a wonderful thing to see Luke Fanning baptized. You know, right here in this baptistry, we got it warm again. That was a great thing to see. I'd love to see more of that. Maybe that's a step that you need to take. But brothers and sisters, let's stop talking about things returning to normal and start praying about what we're going to do going forward. And let's give it intensive prayer for the next few weeks as we get ready for this grand occasion we've been looking forward to. Quincy, lead us in prayer, in song, please.
Break my heart, dear Lord, tear the barriers down, show me in convicting tears the glories of your crown. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of evil cut so deep. I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart. My sin is great, but I can see the glory set for me. Show me far the way to start, and gently break my heart. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of evil cut so deep. I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart. My heart is hard, my soul so weak. The ways of cut so deep. I need you, Lord, to come inside and gently break my heart.
Let's be standing as we close with this last song before our shepherd comes up and leads us in prayer. Enjoyed the singing this morning. Sing right out on this one.
I stand to praise you, but I fall to my knees. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is so weak. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again. I feel your arms around me as the power of your healing begins. Your spirit moves right through me like a mighty rushing wind. Light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know fire in my heart again. So light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know where I've been. So light the fire in my heart again. So light the fire in my heart again.
Thank you for being here with us this morning. This is the start of spring break, and I wondered if Quincy would be singing solo up here this morning, but we do have a good crowd. We're glad you're here. We hope that you will have a good spring break. It is hard to believe that it's basically 1 year ago that the pandemic shut down our country and really shut down the world. But we do pray that this year is going to be much better. We look forward to April the 4th. We hope today that you'll stay here for our Bible class. Remember that our groups meet tonight. And it's not just here in the U.S. that we are anxious to start again. We support a prison minister in Zimbabwe, and he wrote this week that he's been able to start going back into the prisons. He went into one prison this past week expecting to stay for 3 hours. They kept him for 8 hours because they had so many questions they wanted to ask, and he studied with them from the Gospel of Luke. 83 people requested to be baptized that one day, people who'd been studying the lessons. So it's around the world that people want a fresh new start. We're thankful for Luke for the new start that he started yesterday. And I pray that we will all look forward to this year, and it will be much better. If you would pray with me as we close. Our merciful Father, we're thankful for such a beautiful day. We're thankful especially for what this day represents. It is the first day of the week. We believe, Lord, and we have staked our lives on the fact that your Son rose from the dead on this day, that he triumphed over death, over sin, and he invites us to share in this promise and in this triumph. And we're thankful that it's through his blood that we can receive the grace, the mercy, the forgiveness that you so much want us to have and all of our fellow men to have as well. We look forward, God, to better things this year. We look forward to new ways in which to serve you, to honor and glorify you. And we pray, God, that whatever happens, wherever you lead us in this world, wherever you lead this church in this world, that we might love, honor, and serve those around us, that we might realize, God, that you're always with us, that your Spirit is there to comfort us and to guide us. And we look forward, God, to Jesus' return, to the fulfillment of the promises that have been there now for thousands of years. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.